Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays will play for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4!
Hey, ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Sin Bin.
And a very good afternoon. We're right across the Triple M network again today for the Saturday Sin Bin. It's thanks to our mates at King G. King G have been a king of industry since 1926. We're going to talk about everything, of course, involving NRL today around COVID-19. Where do we go from here? Some very special guests coming up today too. Wayne Pearce will chat with us. So will Ricky Stewart. We'll have a little bit of fun too today with a quiz put together by the great Gordon Tallis. We've got Maroon's poll today as well. And let's go live to our studios at the top end of Caxton Street in the beautiful city of Brisbane. Gordy Tallis, good to see you again.
Good afternoon, boys. Good afternoon, everybody.
We might also ask you later on about what you're doing to kill some time. Not many people know that you are actually quite a good cook.
Yeah, I don't mind cooking. Yeah, it takes getting divorced to learn how to cook.
Yeah, right.
So now I've come up with a few different recipes. You know, when you're cooking for the kids, you try to, you know, change it up every now and then and make sure that they enjoy it and it's healthy.
Well, mate,
so I don't mind cooking.
We might get a recipe off you a little bit later on. From Fox League, Paul Kent, welcome to you.
Thank you, Anthony. Nice to be here.
Plenty to say in the telly today, which we'll get to as well.
Yes, well, I think it makes reasonable sense, doesn't it?
I think it does.
Yeah,
I think it
thank
does.
You,
well, we'll pull it apart a little bit later on. Australia's little hero, also from Fox League, the great James Triceps Hooper. How are you, old mate?
Yeah, very good. The Waterloo Whitehead. Thanks for that introduction.
I don't think you need
mate.
To
good
jump to into me people. Straight away.
Yeah. Do you get that ding in the Camaro fixed? Or
what ding's that,
the
mate?
The ding from where you went straight over the top of Tony Squires and Ryan Girdler.
Oh, what about this bloke? Mate, you're here. Paul Kent's here. Gordy Tallis is here. I'm just following the directions from upstairs.
Meanwhile, the Saturday crew are all down at Centrelink.
Yeah, well, but that's...
Because you wide-ended them.
How's it?
You came in. We're all working for half pay because you came in. Let's be honest. And you came in and said, look, we'll do Saturday now and we'll do it for half the rate. The other blokes, so that's why we're here.
Mate, as you know, I took my pay cut before this whole coronavirus thing took hold. And as you also know, Tones, Ryan, everybody from Saturday, you know I don't have that much pull, guys. So, yes, maybe I've... You know, maybe you think I'm a white ant, but I certainly don't have that much pull. Let's talk about rugby league and where we go from here. Let's start with you as we normally do, Paul. NRL return date of May 28. This seems to be all systems go for this date.
Yes.
Do you think this is reality? Do you think we'll get there?
Absolutely. Unless there's a spike now in the infection rate, and as we know, it's all trending down. But unless there's a spike, it's all go for May 28. The only thing we don't know is what the competition will look like. Now, that's basically because the Channel 9 atomic bomb that got set off on Thursday has really upset things. They were looking to do one complete round, so 13 more games into a top 8 system with 3 weeks of Origin mixed in. That was the plan. But Channel 9, after they detonated on Thursday and basically, I think, just lacerated Todd Greenberg and said to the NRL, look, we've got no value for money here in what you're proposing. There's going to be meetings on next week where they will go through different scenarios and hopefully, and I think as Peter Vlandy said in one of the quotes I read, he said, Dave, we walk out of the meeting and I'm unhappy and Channel 9's unhappy, then we've done a deal.
Hoops.
It was a hell of a drive-by from Channel 9 on NRL headquarters. And I've got to say, look, you know, I work primarily for Fox Sports. They're a direct rival of Channel 9, but I liked it, Kenny. I thought... it was gloves off, it was cutting, it was to the point, it was clearly directed at Todd Greenberg, but I thought, given the circumstances, it was fair play. The only thing I thought was a little bit soft about it was a statement rather than anybody actually putting their name to the statement.
It's an anonymous spokesman quoted.
Yeah, but still, look, it had the desired impact. The timing was impeccable given that, you know, Project Apollo were in at NRL headquarters at the time and attempting to thrash out exactly what date and when rugby league would return. Todd Greenberg was in that meeting. Apparently his reaction to it was, you know, a little bit water off a duck's back and this goes with the territory and I'm not in it for a popularity contest, but
yeah, which is just all bullshit, to be honest. Like, seriously. Honestly, like to sit there and say, "Oh, it's well, yeah, I'm not in it to be popular." When your game's second biggest funder now, Channel 9 contributes $125 million a year to rugby league. The only bigger contributor is Fox Sports, which pays $185 million a year with another little bit of probably another $15 million in contra. So to just sit there and just dismiss the criticism is just delusional, totally delusional. I don't think there's anywhere for Todd Greenberg to go except to resign, because the fact is Channel 9 have clearly indicated they've got no faith in him. He's already on the outs with News Limited, the way he's handled things in recent times. And the fact is that he goes, the NRL's now got to walk in with their tail between their legs and have meetings with Channel 9 this week. And Todd can't possibly think he's going to be part of that. He just can't. After what Channel 9 said about how he has run the game, how does he go in and have any semblance that what he says is going to be taken by Channel 9 as legitimate? How does he sell it to Channel 9 after what they've said about the way the organisation he is running? I don't think there's anywhere for him to go. I spoke to some clubs this week, and I said to the clubs, would you move as a group to get Todd to resign, given that the game's greatest funders have got no faith in him? And they said, look, we can do that, and if the NRL, if the board want us to do that, we'll do that. This is what they said. They've got no faith. They've lost faith as well, the clubs. If the commission want us to do it, we will do it. They said, but we have faith in Peter Vlanis to do the right thing, so we'll just leave it to Peter to see what gets done.
All right, let me ask you this, Paul and Hoops. Let me ask you this. And Gordy, of course, mate, chime in. You're up there in our Brisbane studio, but you just chime in if whatever you got. But let's go back to this meeting that will happen next week with the powers that be and Channel 9. What do you think Channel 9 want from this?
Look, there's the way that Channel 9 were very, very smart the way they handled this. They released that statement at the perfect time. The game was finally coming back together. Everybody thought we're all back on the one page and we're ready to go. All we had to do was wait until 28th May, then we're off and running. And Channel 9 dropped this in that we're not getting value for money. We're not happy with the terms. And we're not happy to proceed with whatever plan you come up with. So now the NRL's got to go in. And I don't know what the answer is going to be, Anthony, because I don't know what Channel 9 want.
Plain and simple, they want a better deal. They don't want to pay much money as what they're paying for the product at the moment. They're going to argue that without fans, the product is an inferior product. The season's been disrupted because of what's happened around the world. And then therefore, it's just, when you peel it all back, it's purely a old school, tough negotiating tactic that they're just trying to get better value.
And the NRL will argue back. The NRL will argue back, well, hang on, given that there's 150 to 200,000 people each weekend now not going to the footy, means there's more people at home watching it on TV, therefore your ratings could potentially be better.
Which they'll try and counter with over the couple of rounds that we did have without fans. I think the ratings did improve marginally, but their ratings on free-to-air were actually less. On Fox, they were stronger, but on free-to-air, they were a little bit less.
Yeah, so I don't know where it all ends. I really don't. And anything can happen this week. This took this whole narrative, veered off in a completely different direction to where we were all heading. This is what Super League was like for people who don't remember. Suddenly you'd be sitting there and out of the blue comes another story that takes you in a totally different direction. That's what's happened this week. And until the meetings this week between Nine and the NRL, we're only speculating and I don't know the answer. The thing is that I can't believe is that Todd thinks he's going to be part of this. The smart play for Todd Greenberg right now, if I'm advising Todd Greenberg right now, I'm saying to him, Todd, this is what you do. You go and negotiate a deal with the commission for a payout. Now, he's contracted till October, so they may pay him a little bit beyond October to get him out of the game now. You negotiate the payout. You then say, put out a statement saying that basically pump your tyres a bit. I talk on Channel 9. I'm not going to bend over to Channel 9. That's why Channel 9's come out and said what they said the other day. But I am clearly an obstacle now in getting this game back together. I said I would take a pay cut in the spirit of being for the good of the game for the players. Now, in the spirit of the good of the game, I'm going to resign.
But Paul,
that's
the
smart play.
Do you think Channel 9's comments were fair?
Yes, I do. Gordon, I've been saying it for years. I've been saying for years the NRL have been mismanaging the game and money. And everyone, and Todd, if you remember, a couple of years ago, crisis merchants.
Hashtag talk the game up.
All this sort of rubbish. And all that was a smother to turn the attention from what the poor job he was doing for the footy fans who love the game and want to believe in head office to be able to say, oh yeah, well, Kent's the problem and Rothfield's the problem. They're the blokes that are bagging the game. The game's actually going okay. The game hasn't been going okay for many, many years. And it's taken this to expose that.
Well, the game actually has been going okay, Kenty, but the problem is they haven't been... The product's outstanding.
I'm talking about the administration
and the millions of dollars that have been set fire to and just wasted on unnecessary elements.
See, Todd did an interview with Phil Rothfield last week, and Buzz spoke to him about the finances, and he spoke about, well, look, back in this day, we paid... like $50 million, we had $25 million in expenses, and now it's at $100 million, and we've got $50 million in expenses. So we're making more money because you've got an extra $25 million there, but it's just costing more money. And when you look at it in that simple terms, it's right, but it's a complete con because your expenses don't go, they don't double in that period. Your expenses don't go up at that time. So the NRL are finding other ways to spend money. Like, there's no joint that has spent money like the NRL, other than the royal family. You know, they like to live on the tit, so do these blokes.
Hang on, you left Anthony Maroon out down in the little black hole.
Mate, yeah, but he just pales in. It's all about scale. I'm talking about scale. The sentiment's the same with Maroon, but the scale's different.
Now, in the fair dinkum department, it is staggering. And, like, when you get hit with as many bullets as what Channel 9 shot at the NRL on Thursday at 11 a.m, you would think that somebody would come to the fore, right, and hit back hard. Nobody has still to this day been able to explain where all the money, like, the questions have now been ongoing for a fortnight about where the hell has all the money gone. And so far, nobody's been able to give us a decent answer, aside from Todd Greenberg in the paper saying, oh, anybody can go on and have a look at the annual report, two clicks, and away you go, do your best, have a look at all the numbers.
But there's no detail in the annual report. It's a con again. Like, Tony Crawford said, any club's willing, wants to come in and look at the books, we'll show them the books. But I've spoken to the club bosses. And they say, when you sit down, you say, yeah, but what's this mean? Because the NRL is so broad, the terms of everything, and the way that they've moved money around. It's incredible what they've done. And like I wrote this morning in the paper, the annual report is a masterpiece in telling you everything but telling you nothing. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to actually get any answers, any legitimate, to justify and pin them down on what's that money for? This has been the problem with the game for so long, for years the participation numbers were going down. So what did they do? They pumped out one year. They rang me up, just letting you know, we're putting out the figures. Figures are up this year, first time. Mm. Yeah, I thought, oh, that's good, but that's bullshit. I said, I know it's bullshit. I said, every league in New South Wales except Penrith, which went up about 3%, and the North Sydney League, which picked up numbers because they introduced a new club that season. They're the only two junior leagues in the entire state that went up. Every other junior league went down. They went, oh, no, that's not right. I said, it is right, so don't try and tell me it's not. Then when I argued with them, as I can do sometimes, it finally came out that for the first time that included touch football figures.
Yeah.
And I said, so hang on a second.
A little bit of salt and pepper.
So last year,
a little bit of creative accounting.
But I said, last year, you're comparing last year's Apple figures with this year's Orange figures. Mm. And they said, yeah, but we now own touch football, so that's part of the game, so that's part of participation. I said, well, that might be the case, but you weren't going to reveal that.
Mm.
And they said, yeah, well, that's the case. And they
but, Paul, every code does that because if you sign up at, say,
they do,
school, and you kick a ball,
Gordon, I got no problem.
At Auskick, they put you down as someone playing, and that's Junior. How they said Gordon, that Carmichael Gordon, Hunt yep. played AFL. He kicked the ball six times at school.
Gordon, I got no problem with them doing that, but don't use it as a way to, listen, we're going to make you suck eggs because you've been saying that the participation is going down, gotcha. And it's actually going up. When it's a
note
deception.
To self, never take Paul. Kent on.
Well, you learned that some years back, but that's good that you get behind it.
I'm just writing it down once more.
At the end of it all, Anthony, they're going to take to NRL head office with a chainsaw.
Mm.
They're going to go really hard at it.
You know what?
Because it's not just the wages. As Peter Volandis has said repeatedly, it's unsustainable the way that they were spending money.
They've got 200 junior development officers. Okay. I don't hear anything about these.
Well,
guys.
See, I don't mind that though. Well, I don't
They're
mind that they've
the
got
job,
200
though,
junior development officers. Well, but how do we know, mate?
Because
you've got to have as many
people.
I don't
have
an issue with that.
The school and they tick it off as a school visit.
No, I disagree with that. I think in the case of the junior development officers, I don't mind. But the fact that they've also got 200 staff on top of that, and then you go back to the David Gallop era, he had 72.
Yeah, well,
that's where the issue
back,
is.
And, I go back to the Quail era where he had 20.
Yeah, but that's 30 years ago.
Yeah, but
and
Paul,
he had more money in the bank than these blokes.
Paul, mate, but the problem is with the development officers, just to go back, when I was on the board, right, my kids went to school and they'd say that the soccer cum or the rugby union or the AFL, but when they'd go to Queensland, they would have, you know, like the Queensland badge on, the stars on television wear the NRL badge, so then they didn't know that, you know what I mean? So, like, and all these development officers are going around and was kids to kangaroos, they didn't know what it meant. It wasn't an NRL, you know, like a big NRL banner on them, mate. They'll go in there with a Queensland Rugby League or a New South Wales Rugby League, and kids don't identify with that.
And I'll tell you where they should also, if you want to pick up a minor thing, they should employ ex-players. So when a Gordon Tallis walks into the school, they know who you are. Like
Nathan Highmarsh. Dean Witters, I think he works in that space.
Dean Witters, well, he's one of them. But a lot of the people you don't know, they're just junior coaches that have come through. And with respect to them, I know they understand the game. But the problem with rugby union at the moment...
Star power.
One of them is star power. That's what sells your sport. The reason kids watch the NBA is not because they're a Denver Nugget fan. It's because they're a LeBron James fan.
Absolutely.
Boys, what I'll do, I'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's stay on this issue for a bit because we want to talk about what we think the season will look like when it does start again. And a little bit later on, we'll speak to Wayne Pearce, who is, of course, a part of all this. Have a little bit of fun with the Gordy suggested a couple of games we could play. Maroons Pub Trivia, we'll do that later on. Yeah. And we will let you know what our poll is for today. We're going to have a bit of fun with that. Maroons poll is about to go up. And we'll do that next as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M, Saturday Sin Bin. For King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, we do. Saturday Sin Bin, thanks to King G. King G, they are the people to speak to if you need your work gear. They have been doing it since 1926, and some things don't change. It'll always be King G. Kenty, Hoops, Gordy Tallis, and Maroon. 133353 is our number. Just before we jump back into it again, Maroon's poll for today. Just having a bit of fun with an email we got through the course of the week from Joe and George at Apex Hair Transfusion, Halden Street, Lakemba. Hi, guys. Love the show. We listen on the weekend when we're working. Maroon, you're a legend, mate. Like to offer hoops a new lease of life. When all this COVID-19 drama settles down, we'd like to offer hoops some help with a hair transplant. So it's a little bit of fun, but look, I don't know if you'd consider that, Hoops, but let's do it. Should Hoops get hair?
Sometimes in life you just got to admit defeat.
Should Hoops get hair? Go to the Facebook page. I say yes, he should. Are you with me? Should Hoops get hair? Yes, he should. He's a lovely young man. He's a good-looking fella. Have a look at those triceps. Give him a head of hair and who knows. So go to the Facebook page and vote. Should Hoops get hair? And we'll come back to that. Let's get back to the topic at the moment. NRL's return date, May 28. Gordy, Hoops, and you two, Paul. Hoops, I'll start with you on this one. Rugby league fan. I'm a rugby league fan. I'm saying to myself, hang on a second. Why have we got to now only play each other once, squeeze in Origin, squeeze in everything else so that we can be done by mid-October? When all this broke out, when all this started, we were able to go right through till mid-December if we needed to. Well, why don't we go right through till mid-December and play some more footy?
Oh, look, firstly, Anthony, Channel 9 have got the T20 Cricket World Cup. They've got the exclusive rights to that. They're clearly part of the rights broadcast holders. And so as a result, they don't really want to be playing football up until mid or the end of December. And also, I think there's been that many challenges in terms of just getting back onto the field in the first place. I think there was a view amongst the NRL head coaches that the way that the competition had been forced to suspend Well, perhaps the best solution, given the circumstances, was just everybody plays everybody once. It's a unique scenario, and then that way we can finish around scheduled time. It allows teams also, crucially, not to have an interrupted flow-on effect for 2021 in terms of pre-season, etc. Because if you play up until December, well, it means teams aren't going to be able to have their regulation pre-season planning.
Well, they wouldn't need it.
And everything else that goes around that. He asked a question about why are we only playing up until the middle of October.
It's nonsense, mate. It's not normal circumstances.
What's nonsense?
Well, this is not nonsense about the T20, and Channel 9 can just jam it in there somewhere with the T20. I mean, that's how I see it.
It's not nonsense. If you were chipping in 100 plus million out of your own back pocket, I don't think
it's not normal circumstances, is it? It's not normal circumstances.
But it's still real money.
Look, I just think at the start of it all, you disagree with me just because...
No.
Don't be a bully, Gordon.
Mate, I'm on your side. Mate, they paid for it. This thing's happened. No one ever predicted that it was going to happen. If you can get whatever football, mate, you take it. If they want to play the rest of the 24 rounds or whatever, or the 12 rounds, mate, you take whatever you can give.
There is a chance that if you did play beyond October, because Channel 9 owned the World Cup rights, the T20 World Cup rights, that it would be of worth less value to Channel 9, and given the negotiations that are about to take place, they might argue, well, we'll continue to pay you $2 million a week up until October, and then we think you're only worth $500,000 a week. And that then forces a rethink from the players and the clubs.
Hasn't a deal been done, Paul?
So, mate, the deal was done. The NRL are going to say, hey, listen, if we're going to play the rest of the competition, if we're going to finish all the rounds, don't you pay the money? If that's the deal, that's a deal. You can't come up and say, oh, well, there's going to be no one in the stands, because what I see is that's better for them, because there's going to be more people at home, more eyeballs at home, and that's what they pay for.
The deal was done. You make a good point, Gordon. The deal was done. The issue is they got this act of God, force majeure, Anthony's favourite terms, clause in the contract, which states that if unforeseen circumstances like what has happened transpire, well, that means all bets can be, you can renegotiate, all bets
are
off.
The NRL are also using that clause to say that contracts for next year stays the same.
Mm.
So
can I ask,
talk about nine saying, okay, it's off, you've broken the contract, therefore the deal is done. And that would have allowed nine to just walk away from rugby league if they theoretically wanted to. But the NRL is saying, well, no, this force majeure means it's an act of God. Therefore, next season, when we're back up and running as per normal, it still applies. So, and that's a bit of a... this is going to be lawyers at 20 paces at the moment. So we don't want to go too far down this track, because my lawyer is going to tell me a much different story than Hoops' lawyer is going to tell him. And that's the way... That's why lawyers get rich, okay? And that's why there's every chance that we could end up in court action if some sort of agreement's not reached this week.
Yeah, you get.
So, Paul, can you correct me if I'm wrong? So, Channel 9 have four games a week, do they? So, Thursday, Friday, and Sundays?
They have three games a week, Gordon. They have Thursday, Friday, and Sunday.
Sunday, right? Yes. Well, I didn't know whether they had the two on Friday night, because I watch Fox. Doesn't Fox have more to lose? Don't they play eight games?
Yes, they do. They do have, technically.
So why aren't they carrying on the same as Channel 9?
Good question. Fox have been happy to let the NRL wait and see what the NRL decide, and are working, I think, probably more collaboratively with the NRL.
Yep.
Whereas Nine has already, Hugh Marks, the CEO of Nine, has already announced last week to the shareholders that if they televise no rugby league this year, it will save the company $130 million, which brought up an almighty cheer from the shareholders. Okay,
right.
So it's a business decision. Yeah. So Nine are agitating a little bit. That's
because they've run their business poorly and they're a bit broke.
Well, it's a negotiating tactic, Gordy. So Nine have decided, right, let's throw everything out in the open, play a little bit of dirty pool in terms of the negotiations, fire some bullets in at NRL HQ.
Yep.
Whereas Fox, at this point in time, are preferring to try and fly under the radar and do business behind the scenes.
Right, boys, we've got a full board of calls there. It's a Saturday sin bin, by the way, for King G. Hoops, Kenty, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. We're talking about when the footy will start, about this whole drama caused by COVID-19. Anything you want to lash out about and say, good or bad, you can call us on 133353. Steve, somewhere in the eastern suburbs, mate, what did you want to say?
Yeah, look, I just can't believe that it's taken this long. Like, if COVID-19 wasn't the didn't happen, then would it all still be the same? Would it still be run as badly as you guys are saying it's been run by the NRL?
Great question.
Yeah, it would be, Steve. Look, as I said, I've been saying this for years, and I've sort of been a voice in the wilderness. Phil Gould's been saying similar. Phil Rothfield's been saying similar. Hoops has written it. But the NRL are very good at... what happened with the NRL, when they first came in on this commission era, they came in and didn't trust anybody who'd worked at the NRL before. They thought that they were compromised in some way or whatever, so they didn't trust a lot of people. And if you remember, John Grant, the then chairman, made a big deal about, you know, this joint leaks like a sieve, so we're going to shut all that down. So they didn't listen to anybody. They sacked everybody that had worked within the NRL, or they soon moved people on, yeah, in all the important jobs who'd been there under the Gallup era and previous eras. And so they had all these new people, but what they quickly realised was they had nobody with any corporate history in the joint. So when something, a problem arose, rather than have it, you know, for example, John Brady, the old media manager, who was very, very good at his job, rather than be able to go to John Bray and say, well, how do we handle this? And John Bray say, well, this happened in 98 and this is what we did and it worked out well. Or this happened in 96 and we did this. It was the wrong thing, so we probably should do this. They were doing it all for the first time, and they were making error after error after error. At the same time, they're spending money. Every time they wanted to go somewhere, they're in limousines. They stayed in five-star hotels. The whole business. So there was a lot of media at the time writing about how these new guys have come into town and have basically just blown everything up and are just doing it their own ways and spending tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Now, the NRL's response to that was to, one, turn the media into an enemy and try and get the fans to turn on the media as well. And second to that, they closed ranks and they wouldn't reveal the full detail of what they're doing. And this is what angered the clubs, because the clubs would sit down at the conferences and say, well, okay, well, let's look at your financial report there. And the clubs would look at it, and while the figures were all there and the figures all added up, there was no detail in it. So the clubs would say, well, hang on, what's this expense for? And the NRL sort of fluffed and mucked around with their responses to it, and it frustrated the clubs a lot. So the clubs didn't want to go out and get the angry phone call off the boss the next morning, so the clubs would privately leak to a few people. So that's where we in the media became aware of the poor job they were doing. But what ended up happening then was the NRL turned us into, oh, you're just, you know, crisis merchants and all this sort of rubbish. And so that people didn't know who to trust then. And they want to trust in head office. You want to trust in the NRL. And I get that. And unfortunately, it has taken this to expose. And to be fair, the work had probably already begun when Peter Vellantis, because Peter Vellantis is razor sharp when it comes to reading a profit and loss statement and knowing what money is well spent and what money is poorly spent. And he'd already begun that. That's why Peter Beattie fought so hard to make him be chairman, because he recognised that in him and he knew that he would eventually be able to get it under control. This COVID-19 pandemic has basically just thrown it all open very quickly. We're always probably going to head to a financial correction, but this is now going to fix it. And if you remember, when Peter Vellantis came in, one of the first things he said was, I'll get a bigger broadcast deal next time, which we all thought, that's ambitious.
Am I still talking to you? Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I think that this is going to cause a lot of people to away from the game because of all this stuff happening now that's happening, of all the fighting between Channel 9 and the NRL and the players, and I think it's going to turn a lot of people away, and they're going to have to work really hard to get people back into this.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And they're going to have to do that. But in some ways, it's good, because rather than just putting it all down to incompetence at headquarters, we can now say, well, this virus that's going around the world is forcing every organisation, and it's not just the NRL, every organisation is reassessing their budgets, how they spend their money. And so what's it's going to... And a lot of companies are laying off people now who they probably anticipate the layoff over the next 12 months, but this is now giving them an opportunity to do it, blame it on the virus. So, mate, loved having you. Unfortunately, we can't keep you here. And then moving them on. And that's also happening. So this is a chance to... The one thing we've all got to take out of this as a game is this is a chance to now get it right. And that's the important thing to come through this, is that we get it right. So when the game comes back together, they've got a model that's sustainable, that pays for itself, that's not over reliant on the broadcast money, and that if any of this happens, that we start putting saving funds in place. That's why Vlanis was asked about his job at, as his other job, which is as chief executive of Racing New South Wales, why they're able to continue and keep doing what they're doing. And that's because they'd been putting money aside in case something like this ever happened, so they can continue to fund the game. The sport, the industry of racing.
Yeah, I think one thing a lot of people struggle with is that, now, when the commission was first formed, one of the inaugural commissioners, Gary Pemberton, came out and said, we're going to bank, after they did the big $2 billion broadcast deal, we're going to bank $50 million a year, every year, in a fighting fund for a rainy day in case the sky collapses. And the skies collapsed, but they didn't do it. And if they had done it, they would have had $450 million in the bank, plus whatever interest or whatever else you can earn on top of that, Anthony, that'd be your department. So, you can understand why so many people are shaking their heads.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break, boys, and we'll come back and talk more about this issue. Plus, Wayne Pearce will be joining us sometime in the future too. Wayne Jr., Pearce, rugby league legend, joins us with Kenny Hoops, Maroon, Gordy Tallis too. The King G, their trade is to be better, stronger, so you can work smarter. Don't forget today's Maroons poll. Should James Hooper get a hair transplant? If you think yes, let us know. If you think no, let us know as well. Go to our Facebook page to do that. Should James Triceps Hooper, Australia's little hero, get a hair transplant? We'll be back with more right after this. Is Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M Rocks Footy.
And welcome back to the Saturday Sin Bin for our mates at King G. Plenty of rugby league to go in this show today. A little bit of fun and some serious talk as well with Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis, Maroon here as well. Our number is 133353, which you can get in touch with us any time. Our next guest is rugby league royalty. Almost 200 games for the mighty Balmain Tigers, and of course one of the most successful coaches in New South Wales origin history. Great bloke he is too. Glad to have him on this afternoon. Wayne Jr. Pearce, welcome to the Saturday Sin Bin, old mate.
Hey, Maroon, good to be on board, mate.
Hey, listen, mate, what are you doing to keep yourself fit while all the gyms are closed? Let's get straight to the hard questions, the nitty-gritty.
Probably 5-6 years, I've taken up kayaking on the harbour, so I get out there, went out this morning for about an hour and a half. It was beautiful. So that's my exercise. It helps when you've got dodgy knees, just do something where you're not running or walking.
Did you know that Anthony's a big fan of the Stairmaster, Junior?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, to have a look at him, I should know, because he's an athlete, as you can see.
Well, have you ever seen his calves? This just leaves no question in doubt once you see the calves. He's very...
And my buns too, Piercy.
He owns the Buns of Steel video.
I just said.
The old VHS.
He's got good buns for radio.
Oh, yes.
Wayne, on a much more serious note, obviously that meeting very important on Thursday with Project Apollo, but then in the aftermath we've had some conflicting reports. We had the Deputy Premier come out on Wednesday, John Barilaro, and say that rugby league was the tonic that we needed to help people get through this coronavirus, and we needed to pick people's spirits up. But then in the last 24 hours we've had the New South Wales Health Minister and also the Deputy Chief Medical Officer come out and question still playing the game. So from an NRL point of view, what's your response to that?
Well, you know, we are going through a rigorous process of looking at protocols that are going to keep our players as safe as possible, and the community as safe as possible. We'll certainly be implementing measures that are stricter than what any of the current industries that are still operating, such as the factories, mining, construction sites, this sort of stuff. And bear in mind that they are all still operating. No one's complaining about them. And there's the other statement I've heard is that the government authorities are saying they haven't had a request or haven't given permission for us to play. I've got a document in front of me signed by the head of the State Emergency Operations Centre saying that we're prepared to, we are authorised to play provided we adhere to the government guidelines, and are playing in outdoor venues, which we will be. And so, I mean, to that end, you know, there's, I think the couple of the government officials that may be busy, and obviously they've authorised us to play, and maybe they've got so much on their mind they can't remember, but It's certainly something that we were approved to do, provided we adhere to the public health guidelines.
Junior, what do you say to all the people? And to be honest, they irritate me, but I want to know what you say to the people who attack rugby league for having the arrogance to think that they should be getting up and playing again. And people are saying, how dare they not think they're above what everyone else is doing and not trying to isolate like everyone else is doing. And all these critics that are coming in trying to actually stop rugby league from getting up again. What do you say to them?
Well, for me, when something goes wrong, when you get a setback, there's two types of people. There's people that sit in the passenger seat and we expect someone else to take control, or there's those people that decide to get in the driver's seat and control what they can control. And what we have decided to do as a code is to control what we can control. Mm. And that's a whole lot of factors in terms of protocols that we can put in place that will allow us to minimize the risk of infection and get the game back on track. I mean, someone's got to take a lead in this space, and as a code, we've decided to do that. People are saying, well, hang on, other sports around the world aren't playing. Yeah, but we're very fortunate that we're in a country that's isolated by water. Mm. And, you know, when you look at the other countries...
much more urban spread, too, so we're not as densely packed as a population as, well, say, Italy is.
Correct. And the other countries that are sporting mad countries around the world, America, Europe, England, you know, they've got really high rates of infection still. So they're not... They're not as in a position that we're in, where when we postponed the game, or sorry, when we postponed the competition on the advice of an epidemiologist, the infection rate was 23% on a daily increase. You know, so it was quite high compared to what it is now, which is around about or under 2% daily increase. So the circumstances have changed significantly. There's a whole lot of people out there, naysayers, that don't look at the facts. They let the frenzy take over and cloud their thinking. What we are doing is we're dealing with the facts, and the facts are that there are a lot of stuff that we can control. We've got permission from the government to restart the game, provided we adhere to public health guidelines, and we will be putting in a whole lot of protocols that are going to allow us to, on the advice of experts, that allow us to give to minimise the risk to our players and to the community.
Hey, Junior, that's all the sort of hurdles with the government, mate. What about some of the clubs and the players? Do you think that they'll jump on board?
Universally, the feedback to me is that the clubs and players want to get out there. And when you look at it, Gordy, mate, it's not just about broadcast rights. It's not just about players wanting to get back out there. There are thousands and thousands of people that are on the unemployment queues at the moment because the rugby league competition is not being run. I drove up about 10 days ago. I drove up towards the NRL and went up Crown Street, and there was a queue 150 metres long outside of the Centrelink office up there. And, you know, that's the sort of impact that we can have in terms of, you know, we want to take a leading role in this space. We want to show that we can turn the corner in terms of the economy if people are prepared to be proactive in a safe manner.
And that's the issue too, isn't it, Junior? Is the country is shut down economically, and rugby league's got the opportunity here to get going and get people employed again, and then there are wider benefits to that, and yet we still see these people who are complaining about rugby league players, and they're tackling each other and they're coming into contact with each other, when in fact such will the protocols be that the players will be more at risk going down to the supermarket buying groceries than they will be in the stadium playing football against each other.
You're 100% right, Kenny. I mean, we're taking advice from experts. One of the experts we're taking advice from is a chemical and biological hazards expert. Okay, consults to the army, consults to the fire brigade. And he uses the language of talking about safe zones. He talks about dirty zones, and he talks about transition zones. And what we're all about is how do we create the best safe zone? If someone's going to come from a dirty zone, which is basically the broader community, into that safe zone, they've got to go through a transition zone before they can get into that space. That's the sort of detail that we're going to. The reason we haven't announced any of that detail yet is because there's a whole lot of streams of work that are being undertaken at the moment. It's been ongoing since the pretty much that week, first meeting that we had of Wednesday of last week. There are 10 work streams that are running simultaneously, and hopefully we can get those to converge in the next 10 days, so we'll have a lot more clarity about what we're going to do going forward and how we're going to put everything into place going forward. But we're definitely focused on a May 28 start. There's a fair bit of crystal ball, I suppose, work gone into that in terms of there's so many moving parts, but we believe that's doable and we can execute on that.
Wayne, it's important to point out for our listeners as well, you're not just speaking as one of the commissioners and the head of Project Apollo, but you know, your young bloke is also one of the stars of the game. So just give us, from a parent's point of view as well, how do you feel about your son getting back out there and having a crack back on the footy field?
Oh, I mean, the thing is, the players are in a position where, you know, they want certainty around when they're going to start, because the players in any professional sport, players are very regimented around their training, around their daily routines, and they want to know how they can, when are we going to start so we can program ourselves around our training. Excuse me. So built into that is a psychological well-being piece that is something that a lot of players struggle with if they don't have that routine. So the players are really keen to get back out there. I've had a lot of contact with players that, and universally they're all saying, yeah, we want to get back out there, and as soon as the better.
Wayne, pardon me, mate, what about all this talk about us being full speed ahead to get started on May 28, which is great. I've had this chat with the boys this morning about, you know, when this all started, we talked about going into November, late November, early December. Couldn't we go a little bit further in than sort of mid-October?
Well, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at options, all the different options, and there's pros and cons for all the different options. So hence the reason why we've got multiple work streams happening. So, yes, there are options for going deeper into the back end of the year, but there's pros and cons for that as well.
What are they, Junior?
In terms of...
Well, what are the cons, for example, playing through to December?
The cons are that it could impact on the start of next year's season in terms of preparation and the quality of football for next year. There's also some concerns from broadcasters as to what best suits them. Bear in mind that, you know, we are in the entertainment industry. You know, not just a sport, we're actually in the entertainment industry. So we've got to factor that in as well. So they're the two primary challenges. The other one is obviously the heat. The hotter it gets, the further we get back down into December, and that affects player well-being as well. So there's a few cons, but there are some pros for sure.
What about financially, though? Wouldn't it be more financially beneficial to the NRL to play more games, to say to the players, we will play through to December. You guys are going to have to suck it up here. We'll obviously make them all night games. Probably won't be any afternoon games. But we will play through to December. You'll be playing obviously all the way through spring. But you're going to generate more income because there'll be more rounds of football to say to the broadcasters, you need to pay for that.
Well, that if you look at it superficially, you can say, yeah, that's the case. But as far as the broadcasters are concerned, more is not necessarily better. It may be in some cases, right, but more is not necessarily better, depending on what their programming schedules are like, depending on what their needs are as well.
So what do you anticipate will happen this week when the NRL and Channel 9 sit down and have a discussion? Do you have an idea of what 9 are after? And do you think at the end of it, what deal do you think will be made to give us what the competition will look like?
No, I mean, Kenny, I don't know. My role in Project Apollo is to get the game back up and running on the field. So, I mean, I'm not involved in any discussions around the broadcasters as such. So, Matt, I can't answer that question.
That's disappointing.
All right, Junior.
besides, I haven't got a crystal ball, as I said earlier.
Hey, Junior, just give us an insight. You know, there was some very heavy commentary targeted at the NRL from Channel 9 Thursday while that Project Apollo meeting was actually going on. Did word of that get inside the room when that news broke, or give us an insight as to how all that went down?
We had a bit of a like a toilet break at one point during the meeting, and word was shared then that there was some commentary from Channel 9 that wasn't too kind, but that was it, and then we continued the meeting.
Oh yeah, can you tell us what Todd's face looked like when he heard it?
to be honest, I can't recall exactly what his face looked like. So.
Very dramatic.
Good on you, Junior. Good to catch up, mate.
No worries. Thanks a lot, guys, and thanks for your support of Project Apollo, because now we want to get the game up and running as soon as possible. I know there's plenty of supporters that are listening to you guys that want the game up and running as soon as possible. But bear in mind, we're not reckless in getting the game up and running. We're very cautious, and we'll be covering all the bases and making sure we dot the I's and cross the T's.
Good on you, Junior. Good to catch up, mate. All the best for Easter.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Wayne Pearce joining us on the Saturday Sin Bin here at Triple M. Thanks to King G, Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon. Well, Gordy called a few of us earlier in the week, so we want to get some games back on, a little bit of fun during these serious times. Let's get a few games on. So we've come up with a little thing called Maroon's Pub Quiz. So it's three questions. So just before you start bagging at you two, it was Gordon's idea. Right. Gordon had
Anthony,
the idea.
But please be honest. Yeah. Please be honest. Was it really Gordon's idea?
Gordon, whose idea was it?
I rang Anthony and I said, "G'day, mate, how are you going? You know, with the lack of work that you've been doing," obviously talking about the cashies. And he goes, "Yeah, mate." He goes, "You know, it's a radio star." I said, "Well, can you bring some of it to Saturday? Because you haven't brought anything." So basically, I just poked him a bit, said, "Mate, can you bring something?"
Yes.
"Mate, can you bring something?" So he said, yes, he was going to bring,
you know,
his old Millie and Molly, or Molly and Millie show.
Maroon and Millie.
You know, because he's brought up the old intellectual property argument, so now he's just gone out and kicked the petty cash tin to try and get a bit of a spill out.
Anyway, so there you go. It was his idea.
Right.
Okay.
No, yes, it was. Give us your idea then. Come on, how's this quiz work?
Well, just to clarify to Charlie, who's our producer again, somehow he's found his way back in the building, Charlie White Chicker, he wrote the questions. It's a rugby league quiz, but it's for the real, dyed-in-the-wall, the real hardcore rugby league fan. Now you blokes have asked me a question and you're not listening to me, so what it'll be is, Paul, your buzzer is your name. Hoops, your buzzer is your name. Gordon, your buzzer is your name. First to three, we'll take a break and we'll come back with Maroon's Pub Quiz as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, yeah, it's time for Maroon's Pub Quiz. So we've been looking at having a real serious look at rugby league today. We said, let's have a little bit of fun. It was Gordy Tallis's idea, so it's Gordy's idea. Chigger, our producer, wrote the question. So, boys, once again, before you jump into me, I'm just asking the questions, okay?
Are they sport questions, general knowledge? What are they?
They're rugby league questions.
Oh, okay.
Hardcore stuff, too. Your name is your buzzer, so don't yell out the answer. Yell out your name before you answer. And so they're hardcore.
Do you lose points if you get it wrong?
Let's make it, yes, you do lose points if you get it wrong.
Right.
All right, here we go. So, first to get three right is the winner. The Rugby League Quiz, your name is your buzzer. Question number one, who did Cronulla beat in the 1979 Midweek Cup Final?
Paul.
Yes, Paul.
Penrith.
Penrith is wrong. You're on minus one. Next question. Who finished last in the 2015 NRL season? Who finished last?
Paul.
Titans. You are minus two now, Paul. You're going to be in a no-win situation.
I still win.
And you're going to soak up all the questions and you'll be minus nine.
We'll have to answer.
Are you talking about his height?
All right, the third question is...
Paul.
Yes, Paul. You can be just... If you get three wrong, you... All right. Where was Latrell Mitchell born?
Hoops.
Yes.
Tari
is right, Dan. Hoops is leading 1-0. Yeah,
that's the easy one.
Okay, next question will be, how many NRL clubs did David Gillespie play for?
Hoops.
Yes.
Manly, Bulldogs, West.
Yes. 2-0. You're four behind him, Paul, because you're minus two. This is for the game here, Hoops.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Next question.
Are you helping Gordon out here?
Yeah.
What?
Mate, I can't...
Go on, sorry, Gordon.
Oh, I thought you turned my mic off.
No, no, mate. that's a nice shirt you're wearing, Gordon.
Who did Cronulla beat?
Yeah, combined was it... Brisbane.
Oh,
combined please. Brisbane.
Yeah. Combined Brisbane. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, if you knew that, why didn't you say knucklehead?
Because Paul jumped it before me, and I knew David Gillespie too.
All right. Well, yeah. Then you'll know this one. Just check your buzzers working there, Gordy. Right.
Taller
this,
brush.
If you get this one right, Hoops, yep. You are the... By the yep. way, there's some great prizes
here. Look at
the
way he's standing. It's like he's at the start of the 100 metres.
I know. He's fired up, isn't he?
I've got an autographed copy of Glide by Lisa Forrest. That's an award-winning book. That's first prize.
Oh, and second prize is a dollar.
Second prize is the State of Origin, little State of Origin
that's cool.
replica trophy. Third prize, a 2020 season guide to the NRL. So they're all good prizes. This one for the game here, Hoops.
That's my one.
What rugby league team played at Hindmarsh Stadium?
Paul.
Paul.
Adelaide Rams.
Oh, it's two... So Gordy's still second yeah. in zero, and you're still yeah, minus one. Okay, next question. What rugby league team hands out the Paul Broughton medal?
Paul.
Goalie. Yes, Paul.
Gold Coast.
Okay, you're back to zero.
I thought I beat him then.
No, I don't think you did, mate.
We might have to go to
you
the...
You should have got that one.
No, you didn't. You didn't. Gordy, that's your... I was halfway through my name when I heard good.
Yeah, no, you definitely didn't, mate. You definitely didn't. Okay, you get this one, Gordy. Also playing in the NRL, what was Anthony Minicello's brother's name?
Paul. Hoops. Gordy.
Paul.
Oh, he's got a blank.
Four, three, two...
No, you didn't say time.
Yeah, you haven't got all day. And you are back to minus one.
Mark. Mark Minicello.
Okay, now that one's finished now. So it's 2-0, minus one. Hoops, this one for the game. Brian Fletcher finished his NRL
Paul.
Career.
Gordy.
Yes, Paul.
Wigan.
Incorrect.
NRL.
Now you're disqualified, South mate, because you've had three wrong. You're disqualified, Paul. So
it's policy on the run.
It's
here.
Between you. No, I told you that at the start.
What do you expect? Look,
Gordy,
who's running the show.
You only need one. You only need one.
Gordy,
you
need to answer one.
All right, you only need one to win this one. Yeah. Are you ready? What rugby league legend had the nickname Igor?
Paul.
Paul, you're out.
Terry Randall.
Oh. Yes, well done, Hoops. Yeah.
He didn't say his name.
He said Terry Randall.
He answered the question. He didn't say his name. He didn't say Hoops.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got me
Gordon.
There.
That's true.
On a technicality.
Paul, what did you say?
Gordon said Gordon knew it was Terry Randall too.
All right, well then it's 2-1, and you're
and
out.
And his son's name's Chad.
You can't be working.
Well, I've already got his name was Ralph.
Gordy, you might come back and win this. You might come back and win this.
I thought it was going to be something like, what's Kim Kardashian's?
All right, here we go. Next question. Next question. But so you're out, Paul. Now, this is for the match.
This is champagne radio.
This is champagne radio.
I know what he's
saying. Good stuff.
Don't ruin it. It's going okay. Your name is your buzzer, all right?
Who am I?
I'll disqualify it and give it all to Gordon, and he'll get the prize. Who scored the penalty try in the 99 grand final?
Gordy.
Gordy.
Craig Smith.
Oh, it's 2-1. Or is it 2-all? It's 2-all. Go, Gordy. All right, here we go.
We're getting a little insight into what pub nights are like.
They're better than this because there's people everywhere, Paul. There's people everywhere.
Is this how it normally rolls at Bankstown RSL?
20 leagues, this is, and there's people everywhere. But see, the difference is, Paul, they actually support me. Right, so there's a difference. All right. Okay.
They're probably a little bit more desperate than me.
Here we go. All right. Are you ready? Okay. On your buzzers, someone's got to get this right because we're starting to run seriously late. If you don't get this right, I'm calling it a draw.
Okay.
Who beat Parramatta in the 1976 grand final?
Paul.
You're out, Paul. Who beat Parramatta in the 1976 grand final?
They can't answer it. I've got to be able to answer
Five,
it.
Okay. Four, Gordy. Three, Paul. Gordy.
Bulldogs.
All right, well, mate, that's it.
Please.
We have to leave it there.
Manly.
You were all terrible at that.
Manly.
But you win, Hoops.
I was three, Paul.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah, no. What, you want to keep going?
No, but it was Love two it. Each. You can't have... Yeah.
But now he's got one wrong, so now he's down to 2-1.
Okay.
All right. Okay, boys, well, that was
it. Okay, that was good stuff.
All right. I'm in this one, then.
Okay, I was born October 26, 1977.
Yep.
I played exactly no NRL games.
Right.
I began coaching as an assistant with the Melbourne Storm in 2014 after graduating as the under-20s development coach in 13.
Hoops.
The guy coaching Newcastle.
Adam O'Brien.
Ah, Hoops is the winner. Well done, Hoopy. All
right, because we had to get the applause off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well done, boys.
Maroon, I've got a bone to pick with you, too.
Yeah.
Because we thought we'd do the Easter the Easter Bunny come early to my place, right? So he come today and the little one-year-old Billy's walking around. Mm. And do you know what he did?
No.
He just ripped the ears off the bunny. Remember last year when he said, you go in there and you rip the ears off?
Yeah.
He's walking around and he's just pulling the ears off all the Easter eggs.
Oh, God, love him.
So, mate, you have taught my kids something really bad.
Well, I'm still ripping the ears off Easter bunnies, but I'm doing it at home these days.
Did you go through your usual Easter routine? What, do you go and get a dozen hot cross buns, don't you? And
I did get a I got some hot cross buns and some Easter eggs.
And you said if the eggs are broken, you can just eat them?
Yeah, I always crack one open in Woolies and just
you
eat
do.
It.
You do.
You go in and break the eggs.
I do, yeah.
And ask a discount for broken eggs.
I do, yeah. I break the eggs. And then I'll rip open a mandarine and start eating that. Too,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious, yeah.
Pick through
absolutely.
The grapes, just seeing if they're fresh and whether they're sour or not.
By the time I come out of Coles at East Gardens, I'm full. I don't even need to buy any groceries.
Well, he's still stealing the paper from Macca's.
There's no one in the building at the moment. You haven't been able to tea leaf all the eggs off the desk.
Oh, well, yours is coming.
Mate, I went to Macca's with him one day, Maroon. He's taken the paper into the toilet and come back and put it on the shelf. Yeah. Put it back for somebody else to read. That's how bad he is.
Well, you wouldn't be able to do that today, Maroon. Oh. Social distancing.
No. All right, boys, what we're going to do is take a break, come back, get serious again. We do it thanks to King G. It is the Saturday Sin Bin on Triple M.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.